All right, well, I want to look at a few verses this evening in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, and I would like us to stand just in reverence of God's word. I'm just going to read a few verses and then just a short thought this evening. It's been a blessing to me the last few days as I've thought about this, and I hope it will be to you. Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. So if you find your place in Deuteronomy 33, verse 13, as we read God's word, I'd like for us all to stand in honor and reverence of his word. If you cannot, that's okay. I understand. God knows. But you can still honor him and in your heart and mind. But we stand in honor of his word. All right, Deuteronomy 33. And this is where Moses, the man of God, we see in verse number 1, blesses the children of Israel before his death. So I want to get down to verse 13. So these are the blessings that are pronounced upon each of the tribes. And we're going to read specifically here about the tribe, about Joseph, and just a few verses here. So Deuteronomy chapter 33 in verse 13. And of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. And for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Verse 17, his glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Please bless it now and have your will and way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. 12 times in the scriptures, we see this little phrase, precious things. You can be seated. Precious things. 12 times we see that little phrase, a two-word phrase in the entire Bible, precious things. And we read it 4 times here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33. 4 of the 12 times happens in 4 verses here in this chapter. And he's talking about Joseph. Now we know Joseph was, in his life, was a type and a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his life was unique, you might say precious, because he gave himself to God. Even in temptation, he did not give himself into that temptation. He became a deliverer to his people. So many things. But we see these words as Moses is pronouncing a blessing upon Joseph. Some of the other tribes, some of the other names only got one verse. Doesn't mean it was any less or anything like that, but it seems that there's more emphasis put on Joseph. Why? Because I believe he was typified in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ. More emphasis put on him. And the Bible talks about those precious things. Now, the first time we see this phrase, precious things, is back in Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to turn back there and read it. In Genesis chapter 24, you don't have to turn if you don't want to, but in Genesis chapter 24, this is the chapter where the servant is sent to go find a bride for Isaac. Isn't that right? And the servant is sent. Well, of course, Isaac is a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this servant, I believe, is a type and a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in this instance, is going to find a bride for Isaac. And in typifying the Holy Spirit, this servant does everything his master told him to do. And we get to Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 53. I want us to read that. Well, let's look at verse 51. So the servant has come. He's found Rebekah. And he put some things kind of before the Lord and said, you know, I'm going to do this. And if this were to happen, then I'll know that God's will is being accomplished and that I'm fulfilling the command of my master. If these things happen, well, he did those things and those things were fulfilled. And he said, aha, this is her. God has given my master, my Lord, a wife. He's brought her unto me. So in chapter 24, Genesis chapter 24, verse 51, behold, Rebekah. Now this is her family. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. Verse 52. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, by the way, Abraham's servant is never named, as far as I know, at least in this passage of Scripture. Why? Because the Holy Ghost doesn't desire glory. The Holy Spirit will always, always point the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not receive honor and glory. So much of New Age, quote unquote, Christian worship points the glory to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not want our praise. Now, I don't want to seem sacrilegious, but we do worship the Holy Spirit because He is God. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. So many times throughout the Bible, He is in the shadows. He is working, and the praise goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so we see this play out here. Verse 52, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Again, worship always finds the worshiper on the ground. He bowed himself to the earth and he worshipped. Verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. Now, we don't get any description of what those things are. It could have been gold and silver. I don't know that. Some speculate that it was very costly clothing. Some speculate that it was very rare fruits and food. But, you know, he traveled a long way and he was gone. I don't know how that would have worked, but it doesn't really matter what it is. But the things that he presented unto Rebekah's family were precious things. And so what makes something precious? I was thinking about this as I was studying this. I do not have social media. I don't have Facebook or any of that stuff. We do share one platform that I only share with my family, my wife and our children, and our I don't know if any of our grandchildren are on it yet or not. I don't think so. Anyway, it's called Snapchat. Anybody ever heard of it? Snapchat. It's an app you can have on your phone. You can take a picture of yourself and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. But we only share it with our family. I only share it with my family. And so our sons and daughters-in-law, or our daughter and son-in-law, they will take a picture of the grandchildren doing something cute. And they'll put it on there and they'll send it to the family. We're the only ones that see it. And a lot of times I'll say, or Maw-Maw, I'm Paw-Paw and she's Maw-Maw to all of our grandchildren. And sometimes Paw-Paw or Maw-Maw will put on there and they say, oh, how precious. Now, if you were to look at that, you would see a baby covered in chocolate and you'd say, oh, what a mess. You know. So what makes something precious isn't necessarily the same to everyone else. But these precious things that this servant brought to Rebekah's family were precious. Now, I don't know if they were precious in the servant's sight or they were precious in the sight of the receivers. And usually that's what it is. So we see these blessings upon Joseph, and it continually, it says verse after verse here, those precious things be unto Joseph. Those precious things. What those things are, I don't know for sure. It could have been wealth and money and gold and silver and all those things. But it talks about the things that the earth gives forth and that the sun has to do with and the moon has to do with. I believe it's just the natural things of life that Abraham or that Moses is pronouncing blessing upon Joseph, and that no one else really is blessed with those things. But those precious things. And so what makes them precious? By the way, I want to read this. I'm sorry. I'm going to be done quickly here. But I want to look at this in 2 Peter. Probably something, a verse that many of you are familiar with. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know it's in here somewhere. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter is writing about this epistle, this letter about Christian virtues. He says in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." I believe those are the precious things. "Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Great and precious promises. So I'll wrap it up right here. Why are these things precious? Why would we call those things precious? The things that the servant of Abraham brought to Rebekah and her family. Why were those things precious? The things that Moses is pronouncing blessing upon Joseph and his descendants after him. And that the all those thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. What makes those things precious? What makes the promises that we have in Jesus Christ so precious? I just wrote down three things here. What makes something precious? First of all, it's the source. The source. Who is providing those precious things? Where does it come from? That's what makes something precious. What makes those things so precious to us? They're coming from our Heavenly Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ministered unto us many times by the Holy Spirit. That's what makes these things so precious to us. Just like those precious things that the servant of Abraham presented unto that family that day. Everyone knew Abraham. And the fact that this servant came to this household one day and said, "I am here to find a wife for my master, for my Lord, Abraham's son, Isaac." Oh, that's like a chamberlain coming from a king and said, "The king needs a wife." And going to a little house of peasants and saying, "The king needs a wife. And I think you'll be great for that." Ooh, that dad's going to stand up and say, "Oh, yes, I believe she will. That as a matter of fact, I think she's the most beautiful, girl around, of course." Why are things precious? The source, where it comes from. Then something else I thought about that makes something precious is its scarcity. How rare it is. Things are more precious the more rare or unique they are. There's things that we have through Jesus Christ that the rest of the world can't have. They are rare. We have rare blessings from God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that only we get. There's things that we have in Christ that even the Jews can't partake in, that Israel can't take part of. Thank you, God. And especially the lost world. So what makes things precious? The source, the scarcity, and then the substance. Exactly what it is. And when we read over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, he has blessed us. He's given us exceeding and precious promises. There are things that are coming for us. And even now are. Things are being fulfilled in us and for us that are fulfillment of the promises of God through Jesus Christ in us as believers. We receive that. Hope. My goodness, victory. Yeah. Amen. Promises that we have received. Amen. through the Lord Jesus Christ from our Father, the substance that's to those things. It's not fleeting and it's not fake. It's real. There's substance there. The things that what it's made of. And we know, I was listening to some preaching earlier this week. I have an app and I listen to some good Bible preaching, fundamental King James Bible preaching. And one man made this statement and he said, talking about salvation and eternal life and eternal security. He said, for me to die and go to hell, you would have to kill God. God would have to die. God would have to cease to exist for me to go to hell because I'm saved. By grace, through faith, I am in Jesus' hand. His hand's in the Father's hand. I am more secure than any other thing in creation. The believer in Jesus Christ is more secure than anything else you can think of.
Amen.
My soul is the most secure and safe thing in all the universe. No one can touch my soul except God. It belongs to God. And I, you know, that's kind of a stark statement. But think about that. I am secure in God. And the only way for me to go to hell is if God didn't exist anymore. And we know that He always will. So we are safe and secure in Him as long as we're born again, as long as we're saved. Amen. Precious things. Thank God. We have so many precious things in our life because of Jesus and by Him and through Him. And I'm so grateful for that. All right. Well, I've rambled on long enough. Hope it's been a blessing to you. Let's close in prayer and then we can dismiss and then we'll get into our groups and pray together. All right. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the time. God, I pray that you just encourage us, Lord, and sustain us as only you can. Help us, Lord, to just live for you and love you and serve you and worship you, God, each and every day. Lord, we thank you again for your blessings and for your help and for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.